This is Gaia McGahey, and I'm here with Claire Cote and Olivia June. And today is June 14th, 2018. And we are interviewing, for the first time, Kate Cisneros. This interview is taking place at Kate's home in Cuesta, just off Cabresto Road. This interview is sponsored by LEAP. It's part of the Cuesta Stories Community Memory Project. So, to begin, Kate, if you would give us a sentence, just would you like to introduce yourself? How would you
Well, I'm Kate Cisneros, Montoya Cisneros. I was born and raised in Cerro, New Mexico. I went to school in Cerro, then Cuesta High School. Then at the age of 18, I got married. And 9 months later, I had my daughter, Stephanie. And I've lived here in Cuesta all my life. I had a second son 2 years later. We built our house within the first 2 years we were married. And after that, well, I worked as a cashier. And for the most of my life, I worked as a cashier. Then I went into cooking. And I did that for quite a while, which I loved. And I still love cooking. And I don't know, I got married at 18 to Randolph I. Cisneros. And he worked at Molycorp for 33 years. He retired from Molycorp. And he passed away in 2004. And that left me a widow. And I'm still a widow. And I plan to stay a widow forever because I have a responsibility with my kids and the community. I have been involved with the community for a long time. I was with the Cuesta Fire Department Support Group. I have helped with friendship circles, everything that the community needs, I have been involved. Especially now that I got older, I have the time, and I try to help as much as I can. I am the co-director of the food pantry in Cuesta. We're the second biggest food pantry in the northern part of New Mexico, and we're the only pantry that's operated on donations only. No sponsors, no nothing. So that's been a great achievement for the community, and that's one of my number one things now at the age of 70 is to help the community and give the community what it needs.
Can you say more about that? What about the work at the food pantry compelling? And
yes. At 2005, I started working with Love Thy Neighbor at the food pantry. I was working for Cindy Hall. And I got a lot of ideas from her how a food pantry should be run. We had a lot of mistakes that I thought were mistakes. She shut down 3 years later. I was able to open one on our own, Jeannie Masters and I. And we have accomplished a lot. And it's a lot of work. I have up to 16 volunteers. We give out groceries twice a month out. We feed, we give out 120 to 150 boxes, which feeds 350 to 400 people. And we just do that every month. We've been doing it for the last 3 years. Our main supporter is Chevron, which Tommy Lyles has helped us out. And the Living Word Church has been one of our biggest donors. We have other individual donors, which a lot of them don't give their name and that. We just get the money.
And so, what's the daily kind of jobs or the duties of running the food pantry?
Okay, the food pantry, every week on Fridays we order. We pick up on Thursdays in Taos. We usually have to take a flatbed and two trucks to pick up the food, especially if we get produce. And then we give it out every second and fourth Friday of the month. Okay, but the volunteers, we go in and it's filling up our tables. We do our tables, clean. The volunteers are the ones that keep the pantry going. Jeannie and I, we have the main schedule, whatever, but my volunteers are the ones that keep the food pantry. And it's a lot of work, a lot of responsibility, but it's done good to the community, and I think that's where we're happy.
How many volunteers are there?
I have about 16 right now, and that's a lot of times we're even short, because if we have a lot of produce to give out or stuff that I have outside to give, because I try to give out everything. Mm-hmm. So a lot of times even 16 isn't enough. But too many isn't good either. So with what I have right now, I'm very happy with the volunteers I have now. So far, we work real good.
And when, so I guess what I want to sort of ask is, how do you know who needs the food that you're giving out? Or how does that...
Yes, you know? When I was with Love the Neighbor, we went by income, and we only had like 79 people pick up boxes. When Jeannie and I started, we decided that the money was coming in from Chevron. There was a lot of working people that are working for $8.25, $9 an hour. There was no way that you can buy the needs that a family needs. So we decided just to go by whoever feels they need the groceries, they go in, sign in, and we give them out. We don't go by income or judge nobody. Anybody can go. Mm. And we give out a lot of emergency boxes. Then yesterday I gave out one that went to Taos, but I know the people, so I gave them out an emergency box. So it just depends who needs it and who wants to go. We don't put a limit on income or anything. And then if you have more than, let's say, 4 kids, we try to give extra groceries to those and that have more kids because of the situation. Anybody that is that gets food stamps automatically, they can get the groceries. There's no, and we don't go by income, so anybody can get them. So, and then the leftovers, like today, we had bread. We take it into the hardware and that so they can give it to the working people. Because a lot of times it's just people that are in food stamps or stuff like that that get these groceries. So we figure when we have extra produce and that, the working people can benefit from it instead of throwing it. Mm-hmm. So we're allowed to do that too. So, and I don't know what else.
It seems like the food pantry is often involved with other sort of community events or
yes.
getting food and drinks too for
if there's anything
that
going
happened at the church or yeah
yes when the other. Church was when they well see a lot of it if it's for sale we can't donate it mm-hmm. if it's for use that people needed like water and stuff events that are going on we can donate mm-hmm. but if it's an event that's going that they're going to sell water or sale we are not allowed to do that it has to be just a donation, no money involved. So for funerals, if there's families that have funerals that we know the family doesn't, they don't have the money, we provide food for them and help them out. Food only. We don't supply no money at all for nobody. That we can't. That's a no-no, but we can provide groceries.
Right.
And we have helped with a lot of the funerals here in Cuesta because we get a lot of our druggies, overdoses, and that, then, I mean, we have to help, so
yeah.
that's another thing that we have going,
yeah.
so.
Yeah, well, I guess what's the history of there being a food pantry or a resource like this in Cuesta? How long has this existed in the community?
Okay, this has been here for 15 years.
Mm-hmm.
It started at the Baptist Church. They only had maybe 20, 25 people there. Then the village went in and helped them to move up to the building where we're at now, the seniors, the old clinic building. Anyway, when Cindy moved up there, it started real good, but then she decided that she wanted to go into used clothes and used furniture. And that threw us off because it wasn't something the community really, here in Cuesta, the community doesn't go for thrift stores or hand-me-downs. I don't know why. So when she shut down, we took all that off and just went direct, just food. And it's been 15 years that it's going, and then we quit 2.5, and that's when Jeannie and I took over. And with the funding we have and the help we have, if God permits, we'll be there for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
Jeannie and I are getting older. We'll probably have to hand it up to somebody else. To take over because it's a lot of work. It's
mm-hmm.
it's a lot of work for us. But that's how it worked 15 years ago.
Wow.
It's when it started with 20, 25. We're up to 130. For the holidays, we're up to 150 or more boxes. So,
mm-hmm.
or during the time they're off from the off season in Red River. Like this last winter, they didn't have snow, so our count was high. And I can imagine now the summer with the summer fires and that, with our fires, it's going to be that the, you know, regular is not going to be full capacity. So,
and
again.
So this, the food pantry, I know it's the North Central food pantry because it serves
San Cristobal, Cerro, Costilla, Amalia, Cuesta, and Red River.
Okay.
So we get a few, very few from Red River, but we get a few that work seasonal up there and rent, and then they, when they're off, they can come and get them. Mm-hmm. So that's why we call it the North Central. Bahia, Arroyondo, and them have to go to the St. James. They have to go to the other one. Oh. Or Colorado. We cannot give Garcia Colorado, and then we can't give them groceries. It has to be in the area that we're hosted. So let me turn it off. Anyway, that's how it works, and it's done good. CECOM, the Love Thy Neighbor was sponsored by the churches, Cowboy Church and the Living Word. There was like four or five different churches when it was Love Thy Neighbor. Mm-hmm. So we had like 35,000-40,000 at all times to order. But we went by income, so we didn't have that many people. Mm-hmm. And then it wasn't run good. We used to fix the boxes. By the time, a lot of times we would go out to the parking lot, a lot of the food was on the trash or the boxes were left there. Now we let them pick. That way, if they don't need it, they don't have to get it. And thank God we have a lot of people that don't get everything. You know, mm-hmm. Oh, no, I don't need peanut butter. No, I don't need macaroni. No. So it's worked mm-hmm. out better than if we fix a box.
So people can choose.
Yes, people can choose from what we have, mm-hmm. yes. And it's always two or three items of whatever that they can choose.
Yeah.
Yes. Because being there 3 years, well, it's the same. We give the same. We have to give the protein, the macaronis, all that. That's a must for us. Then the rest that we ordered, like the cookies, the produce, the pops, the meats and all that, that's extra. Like tunas and all that. But the dried beans, the macaronis, the tomatoes, all that, we have to have it. The peanut butter, the milk. Those are like, we have to have that on the table. Nutrition.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of times the bank doesn't have the good nutrition, which we're having problems now, is that we're getting a lot of junk and not needing enough nutrition.
Mm-hmm.
But it works out. Because a bag of cookies at the store is for $4.29. A lot of people can't afford a bag of cookies. So if we can afford to give them a treat, it works out good, I think so.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, Vince.
This is kind of a broad question, but what do you feel like you've learned about our community now or in the past or, you know, how its future from all of this community work?
From this community work that I've done? Mm-hmm. Well, working for somebody else and then being involved with the community itself, I've learned that the community are people as a small community, and out in the country, we're very close-minded. We don't open up to get aggressive and do more for other people, do more for the community, give more to the community. A lot of people just hold back so much envy that's why a small community like this doesn't progress, because you have very few people that are willing to give and give it free. I feel I give my work, my donations, my gas, my truck, everything. I do it free. I don't expect pay for it. There is nothing in that food pantry that I could say, well, I need to bring these, I need these. I don't need nothing because living by myself. But the community itself doesn't grow. To me, our community hasn't grown from, you know, seeing the difference from Cerro people to Cuesta people, there's a big difference. Cerro is united. Cuesta is not. And that's where I have a conflict with it, that we can't just work together and pull together to get ahead. There's, you know, always somebody, they're there to make a profit, not to give. And that's the thing I don't like about the community, and I haven't seen changes on that. That people are not, at this day and age, with the knowledge, with the technology we have, we should be able to be way ahead. Because people are in Cuesta were not lazy years ago. Everybody worked. Everybody had their farms. Everybody produced. And nowadays, to me, welfare food stamps has ruined our communities nowadays, because there's property to plant. There's I was raised without, just out of a barn and pigs that we raised and sheep, lamb meat. But we grew everything and canned everything. And nowadays, the kids, they don't even know how to can. You know?
Do you, yeah, I was going to ask, what do you think is at the sort of the root of that sort of, the what's causing, okay, holding people back or causing them not to get,
yeah,
progress?
Well, you know, years ago, it was like, I feel I was raised where you sat down and had dinner. You discussed what was during the day, what you were going to do the next day. The gathering of the family was important years ago. Anymore, it's individual for individual. You know, the parents don't have time to sit with the kids. The parents don't have time to sit, very few parents, sit down and pray in that. And I guess because I came from a broken home, prayer was number one. And sitting together and eating together was number one. You don't see it anymore, even with my grandkids. You know, the kids sit watching TV or, you know, which we were never allowed to even take food in the bedroom. And that lack of communication at home, I think, has a lot to do with being able to share or give for the community. You don't give at home, you're not going to give in the community. That's my opinion. Because mother was always cooking and giving and helping other people to put mud on their houses and taking food because that certain person didn't have the land that we had to plant. And mother always helped in the community. And she was known for that. And I think that's where my family and I come, because we're all very giving. But nowadays, people don't do that. People don't have, even as brothers and sisters, they don't have that giving that we used to have when we were growing up. I think, I mean, that's my opinion, because yeah. I see it, you know, that my nieces, my nephews are raised so different than what mother would have wanted them to be. So, and then the drugs have really destroyed our communities, our young kids.
There is definitely a lot of drug use, and that's clearly present. But
yes.
It's sort of the question. It's like it's kind of like, well, what is that? What happened before that?
Yeah, like, I think the lack of communication, the lack of parenthood. Nowadays, all the parents work. They're out of the house from 7 to 7, most likely. What time does a mother have? How much time does a mother have to sit down and talk to the kids? Or, you know, we used to get home from school and sit down and eat, and mother used to say, well, I caught this, you know, the beans, quitas, we're going to have to go out and spread it out so it can dry. We're going to have to do this. We're going to, you know, there was always that we have to do it. It wasn't mother. Mm-hmm. It was we had to do it. And nowadays, no, the parents, well, if he doesn't want to do it, well, it's okay. They never asked us, do you want to do it? You know, it was, this is what we're doing. And, you know, I got away from a lot of the hard work because I was the youngest of 10. But I still learned how to cook and bake and everything. But we always had that extra time with mother, you know. And you don't see it anymore. And I think that's where our community lacks that giving, that sharing, that getting ahead with the community itself, not just the people, but to, like now with those, our trail, historic trails and that, you know, people don't get involved. You know, I don't know, maybe because I have a different way of seeing life. Mm-hmm. I feel that we have to give, we have to receive, but in order to receive, we give. And give it with all your heart. No, don't look back and say, well, I did this and I did that. No, you did it, and 3 pounds of sausage on it. Come on, they said 5 pounds of sausage on a 5 pound, no. 5 pounds of sausage on a 3 pound bag doesn't get you nowhere. Mother always used to tell us, you know, when we would brag or something. Mm-hmm. Mother used to say, quitas, 3 libras de carne en un saco de tres, 5 libras en un saco de tres, no me platiques, you know, don't talk about it. So we always carry that, you know, don't lie or don't put yourself ahead because it's not worth it. Mm-hmm. Anyway,
yeah.
But I don't know, I just don't understand people. I don't understand our young generation. I just, even the older ones here in Cuesta, you know, you have a lot of veterans that came back that are retired, that have good income and stuff. They don't help. They don't, nothing. I have my brother-in-law here. No, but I can't say that. But anyway, you know, they're not aggressive to help or give. Mm. Why should I go, you know? Mm. It's like, let's irrigate the whole patch, you know. Why would we do it? You know, it's like.
Yeah,
but, that.
I was going to ask about that, actually, because the communal activities, like keeping the acequia system going and irrigating and
cleaning out the
ditches.
Those
agricultural projects were communal. And then as they are done less or practiced less, then there's just less motivation to come together.
Like in Cerro, when we're growing up, everybody had a garden. So if, let's say, well, we had enough kids. But if some of the parents didn't have enough kids to help them with the garden, well, mother used to send my sisters and brother to go and help them do their whatever they had to do in the garden. You know, 6 o'clock in the morning, you were in somebody else's garden doing work. And plastering the houses with mud. I remember mother was one of the main plasterers for mud. So the girls had to go help and do it. And I think that's why, I know that's why I'm the type to give and give and give. Because mother was like that. Mother always believed that God, you had a purpose in this earth. If you weren't a teacher, you weren't a nurse, you weren't, you know, a lawyer, there was something else that God had you here for. And mother believed on her giving and helping the community. Mother used to take the whole meals of people that died, because people in Cerro were poor. But we used to can 200 quarts of green beans, 200 quarts of green peas, corn, pie peelings. We had a big cellar like this, and we used to fill it up. And you know, then when you're young, you think, why would mother can so much? Why, you know, so much work? Well, it was work. But then by August, September, that we would start canning again, our cellar was empty. She knew how much we needed for the winter until, you know, our garden started producing. We used to can fish. We used to can lamb meat, that much fat and that much meat. But because there was no ice, no freezers, no refrigeration, we had to can it. So. And so if there was a funeral, there was a wedding, whatever, mother always had enough food, you know, to make a big meal. And years ago, it was just chili beans and mashed potatoes and gravy. You know, we didn't have the meat to put out. But we always had like 15, 20 pigs that we would save to butcher. Because then we used to make our own hams, our own bacon, everything we did ourselves. And right now, I won't eat bacon, because to me, that's not bacon. Well, I never had store-bought bacon till I got married. It was always our homemade cured bacon. And years ago, it was so cold that we had just a building with one vise, and that's where we used to do all our curing, because it was so cold. It would stay cold till, you know, the last of March. And so we had our meat and everything frozen. Then whatever was left over, which was very little, if mother could can it or preserve it some other way, or make sure that we shared with the neighbors not to lose it, because it had to be frozen. And for a single mother, we killed pigs. We had a man go shoot the pig for us. Mother used to gut it and everything. We skinned it, boiled the water and everything. I guess mother was very strong, beautiful, small, short lady, always taking care of her complexion, and yet she was out there with the shovel. And my mom was just a hard worker and a giving.
And where did she come from? Where was she from?
Mother was born here, there in Cerro. Mm. She was born in Cerro. Mm-hmm. And my grandparents moved to Las Animas, to Sahuacha, and that, because they were mining up there. So my grandpa and them, mother was raised up on the mining camps. Okay. And then my grandpa and my grandma my grandpa and my grandma separated. And the grandparents, my mom's grandparents, raised her. And mother's grandparents were rich, according to the community, the well-off of the people in Cerro. They were like rich people. Mm-hmm. But when Mother, they had a lot of land in that. But when Mother married my dad, the parents didn't like the family. So when Mother married my dad, Filimon Montoya, my grandparents like disowned her, like they didn't give her property, didn't. Mother took care of Grandma when she got sick, but the grandparents didn't leave nothing for my mom because of my dad, which they were right. But Mother, how could, like Mother used to say, I got married in 3-4 years, I had 4 or 5 kids. Where could I go with that many kids? And then at that time, you didn't divorce. You know what I mean? You didn't dare divorce. So Mother had to live with whatever went on. And she pulled through, never married again, never nothing. Mm-hmm. So she was very strong. How would you say? Strong-hearted, strong-minded. Mm-hmm. But no, Mother was raised on the high level. And then, see, because when Mother used to cook for us that we were growing up, we never ate burritos, taquitos, the Mexican food. We were raised more like Polynesian food, the rices, the different, well, we used to eat pizza and that. So Mother's way of cooking was beyond just tamale, you know, the Mexican. We had more Indian. But now that we see her recipes, they were more a lot Polynesian.
Because Mother, where did that come from?
I don't know where that came from. I think Mother living out in the mining camps, and they lived in Grand Junction, which there she had an Indian friend. That's where she learned to make the tamales. She was the only lady, or the only person in Cerro and all these areas that knew how to make tamales. People didn't know what tamales were at the time. Well, we had tamales, you know, but Mother was very... I think I took a lot after Mother. You want to learn more. If you get a recipe, you're going to see if you can do it better. That was the Mother was. If it had beans, well, why there was corn and peas and everything else, why couldn't she change it around? Or I think that's where she got most of her cooking and most. If Mother would have had a way, Mother could have made her own cookbook. Because Mother, we ate good. Donuts. Bakery donuts. You didn't see bakery donuts in the country. And Mother used to have a long cupboard like that. She used to make enough donuts that it would cover the cupboard. Chocolate, white, and maple with maple syrup, maple flavoring.
What?
You know, the cinnamon rolls, Mother used to do them in roasters. They were that big around. Mm-hmm. So we used to cut them down and then put them on the broiler. We were the first family that had gas and a restroom inside the house. And we didn't have a dad. That's how Mother was a hard worker. Mm-hmm. She was going to get ahead in life, whatever it took. The second family to have electricity. So Mother was no dummy. Mother was very... And then we had pigs that... Well, if you raised 100 pigs, well, you were going to sell 50 or 60 of them. You know, well, that was our extra money. Then we had cows that Mother used to sell. I remember I was small, we would have to be after the cows. And I think that was our main beginning, that Mother had that to sell. And then she used to do laundry for these people that moved into Ryan's Ranch. The workers used to work there at Ryan's Ranch. It was a ranch. And Mother used to do the cleaning and then the laundry for them. And then she was a cook at the lunchroom in Cerro for a couple of years. So there was always a little bit of money. And then after my brothers and sisters got out, 13, 14, they were out working in Denver, doing laundry and working in laundries, and they supported us. We didn't go on welfare and food stamps until I was in the 7th grade. My brothers and the older sisters supported us. Mm. But we lived out of the garden. And then when I was in the 8th grade, this man, Barney Moss, used to work for Top of the World. He came into our lives. And he was a retired cook from the service, army or something. Then he got a little bit of Social Security. That's when we learned grapefruits, figs, dates, all this stuff, because he would buy it for us. And I mean, well, he had a little bit of money. And at that time, well, $600 was a lot a month. And then he lived with us, which it was funny because we never saw it as Mother's boyfriend. We saw it as... Our dad, because he used to take care of us. And that's when our life changed. He moved in with us, and then he helped us out. So there they go with the girl that died. Anyway, but no, we were raised very, very, very poor, material-wise. Food-wise and love, I don't think nobody in the community or anybody had the love and the food that we had when we were growing up. I used to get to school and the teacher, why did you have nutrition for breakfast? Oh, I used to hate that. Because during the winter that the chickens didn't lay eggs, mother used to get up and cook a big pot of lentils. So by 7, we would be eating a lentil soup before we went to school. And the girls that used to go and walk to the house to pick me up in the morning, they would go in. My mother had biscuits and lentil soup, where the girls thought that was the best breakfast there was, you know, or biscuits and, well, we had cows, gravy. Biscuits and gravy, we always had that. Then we always had bacon or sausage. We used to make our own sausage. And the girls used to think that was so good, and I used to be embarrassed. The girls are coming over and we're eating lentils for breakfast. Then I would get to home at school. Oh, I had pancakes and 2 eggs. I felt embarrassed. I can probably smell the fried onion on me. And yet now, as you get older, you realize that I had it made. They didn't. You know, you get up and eat an egg and your dry cornflakes was the only thing people could afford. Heck no, mother was, if there was an egg, she was going to make something good. Even a potato soup, a hot potato soup. We used to, and then in the winter, well, that hit good with us, eat a hot bowl of, then yellow cornmeal. We used to get the yellow cornmeal from the commodities. So that was a big breakfast for us. A big thing of yellow cornmeal. We used to get the butter and the commodities. Cornmeal, homemade butter, and then the milk from the cows. Man, used to have a big bowl, no limit on it. We were always real chunky. All of us were real, not fat, but because we ate so good. I mean, mother, we ate good. Shriver, Kennedy's brother-in-law, Shriver, remember he was the one with the Peace Corps? Mm-hmm. He visited us in Cerro. He was putting his hand. We had a big pot of corn. The Peace Corps had been learning how to can. So that day, they were learning how to can corn. So Shriver came down because it was a big thing with the Peace Corps people. Anyway, we had a big pot of corn, boiling all the leftover corn that you don't want to slice. That would be near. Shriver would be digging into the hot water to get corn. The butter dripping that, and mother was so embarrassed because, you know, well, whoever the heck he was, we didn't care. He was in our cellar and everything, and years later, you know, he'd say, well, that man was at the house, he had dinner with us. His suit full of butter, and, you know, memories that everybody, even at school, Shriver was at your house when we passed out. Shriver was at your house. Well, to us, you know, the knowledge that you have as a country, I didn't know it, but the teachers, it was a big thing. Shriver was at Kate's house. Well, to me, he was just another man after the Peace Corps, but mother sponsored a Peace Corps. We used to teach him the garden, the canning. Mother had a lot to do with the Peace Corps.
Mm-hmm. Oh, interesting.
We sponsored one from California. He was from California, and when Mom died, he came to Mom's funeral. And we still keep in touch with him. He's my age now, 70. He's going to be 70 now. Wow. He was in the Peace Corps. And no, we had a beautiful growing up. I don't know, like we were talking, the happiness. You know, we have so much to be thankful for. We have so much happiness. To me, like your mother, we used to play games. We were Friday night. Saturday night, it was game night. Whether it was marble game, cards, or Monopoly, we finally were able, somebody gave us a Monopoly. But cards, we were always playing cards. 2-3 o'clock in the morning, eating fried eggs or whatever, a snack, and with the cards all greasy. But that's one thing mother loved doing with us, was playing cards or marble game. Barney made us the aggravation, the board game. We used to stay up till 3-4 o'clock in the morning playing games. And mother along with us. And Dad. We would, the girls would get mad at me because I would smack my mom because she would, on aggravation, she would take up my marble and I would smack her. And well, I was a baby, I could get away with it. But that's another thing that mother did with us was play games. Mm. Make candies. We used to make candies. Taffy. Mm. Fudge. Mother used to make coconut balls. I mean, there was nothing, and I never saw a cookbook at my mom's. Hmm. We never, Montgomery Ward's catalog, but mother never had a cookbook. When I started high school, I bought me the Betty Crocker, what was that, red and white cookbook. Mm-hmm. That was the only cookbook that I ever saw at my house. Mother cooked and baked and never had a cookbook. Never. Hmm. So.
How do you think she...
Just on her own, that we had the garden, she was going to make sure that we had, like I say, she would create her own dishes. You know, zucchini. She used to, then who would know the big zucchini? Nobody in Cerro raised zucchini. And mother used to dig them out and then put sausage and wafer cheese, regular cheese, and put them in the oven. We had those zucchini bowls since I was young. Mm. The half pumpkins cut in half and put in the oven with just sugar and butter. And but we used to can everything. Then at fall, we used to get the pumpkins and clean them out, slice them, take off the skin, slice them real thin, hang them out, what we call tasajos. I don't know what they are in English, but it's dried pumpkin. Mm. So during Lent and then, we used to get them down because we used to hang them in that little dispenser that we had, that granary we used to call it. We used to hang the sacks of them. So those we used to boil them a little bit, cut them up, and then fry them with onion. And it's not a pumpkin taste. It's more like a turnip, fried turnip or cooked turnip taste. We used to do sacks of those. Mm-hmm. And that was our spring treat We used to dry that pumpkin. Mother used to put the screen, the door screens, with, well, boards and then that, and mm-hmm. we used to put them out.
To dry.
And then a cheesecloth or cloth that we used to put at night so the, well, we never had cats, and the dogs never, and then we had them high. But we were never allowed to have cats. Mother used to say, I can't afford to feed you, and I'm going to have enough, because we always wanted a cat, and I'm going to have enough to feed a cat. So we always had an outside dog, but not, we couldn't afford to have a cat, or that was our excuse. So mm-hmm. we never had pets more than an outside dog. But there were so many things that we did as growing up that kids wouldn't even think about, or people knowing. That little plums, we used to dry those too. And then in the spring, boil those just with sugar. I mean, like stuff that I wouldn't eat now. I don't think I would eat that now. And then it was a big treat when you're growing up. You know, for a mother to have that as a dessert. Indian, we used to call it pululu, Indian plums. Pululu, I don't know.
They grow around here.
Yeah, but we used to dry the pumpkin. We used to dry apples. We used to dry, well, everything, really. Apples. And then what we couldn't dry, we can't. We used to do our own pipe peelings right away for apricots and all that. We used to get company, and mother used to say, go get me a jar of apple from the manzana papastel. So we used to go and get her a jar. By the time the people sit down in that, she already had a platter with a pie baked, because that was mother's thing. You went to mother's, you had food, like me. I don't feel comfortable that anybody comes here and doesn't have something to eat. Mother was the same way. Mother was in one of the museums in Santa Fe, and Schreiber with a B. It's out. The people that owned it died, but they had mother's picture, a big picture, mm-hmm. with her sitting like this, and mother looks Indian, and she looks so tired, mm-hmm. so tired, and that's what they had on her, her story. Was, you know, a mother that lived out of the dirt, out of whatever we produced. And that man and that lady used to come to the house to visit mother. But that man used to cry, just, you know,
how cruel a man can be to leave a woman at that time with that many kids. 10, plus then mother raised 7 grandkids. Mm-hmm. My sisters went out and got pregnant. And mother always said, you play with fire, you get burned. She did not believe in abortion. You get pregnant, you're going to take care of that kid. So the girls got pregnant, took them to mother, they would go out and work and help. That's another way that we survived, because the girls used to work and then send mother money. But they were feeding their own kids, not really helping mother. Mm. But mother raised 10 of us, 7 grandkids, and she raised a nephew, my dad's nephew. Mm. When my dad left us, Joe Montoya, my dad's nephew, stayed with my mom. He didn't want to leave. And during the Depression, he left to California. And he became a rich man by selling textiles. Mm. And then he killed himself. Mm. About 55, 60, he killed himself. We never knew why, what. His wife never, never, if she knew, she never, we never found out. But mother raised him too. So we had a beautiful mother. I mean, what else? We never got hit. I never got hit. When I was small, I never got hit. God hears me. I got hit 3 times after I was married. Mother slapped the hell out of me. 3 times mother slapped me after I was married. You know, and I never got hit when we were small because mother used to tell us, "Hitas, only animals get whipped." You understand with words. And I guess we saw her work so hard that we obeyed. But then when one time I went to my mom's, and Daniel was small, my son, and I spanked him. Well, they used to jump in mother's beds. They weren't even allowed to go in my bedroom. And I went and I got him and I whacked him. Well, I turned around and mother was right there on the door and she slapped. She goes, "Don't you ever hit my kids in my house. If you want to discipline your kids, you do it in your house. One day these kids are going to say, well, my mom beat me up in front of grandma's and grandma never did nothing about it." You don't, and mother never believed that we hit the kids in front of her. And then another time, I don't know, 3 times. And then another time I was going to leave Randy. I was going to leave him. So I went to my mom's. And mom said, "Hita, tell me what's going on." Oh, and I told her and I said, "You don't know Randy and you don't know." Bad. We got dishes from the table. Mother never liked plastic or anything. It had to be glass. So I'm carrying the dishes to the sink, and I said, "Mom, you defend Randy because you don't know him." And she goes, "Right, but I do know you." And I'm with the dishes. "Well, I can't move. I can't drop the dishes." She slept. So, but you know, mother always hit us girls when we got older. All my sisters got hit. My brother used to come from Arizona, and mother used to hit him, and he used to go back mad. One time he came down and mother didn't beat him up. He came back the following long change. So mother, and he stayed like, he got it at the night, on a Friday night, Saturday evening, mother slapped him and beat him up. He got her, hugged her, threw her on the floor and walked out and got in the car and left. He came back just to get slapped. How dumb. Yeah, mother was a very controlling with us, very, very controlling. And my brother-in-law Gilbert used to say, "The day your mom dies," he used to tell my husband, "The day the girl's mom dies, that's when we're going to bust our wives." And that Pina controls them. Because come and do this. Well, she had it so hard. And even thank God our husbands understood that we needed to be there for mother. Yeah, Randy, when we got married, well, we would poach deer and stuff like that. Right away, Randy for my mom. And then I used to call her, "Mama, Randy got another deer." I said, "Come so we can it," because that was mother's big thing. Man, she used to get here with the knives, and we used to can the meat. Oh, well, shut the windows out. Who was going to find? At that time, it was $100 fine if they got you with a deer. Mm-hmm. So it was nothing. But mother was so afraid because it was stealing. We were stealing the deer. But no, it was stealing, but she still wanted to can it. So we used to do a lot of wild meat canning. Mm. Mm-hmm. We used to do a lot.
And why was it stealing? Because of,
well, it was poaching because we got it off season. We didn't. Oh, we would go up to Red River or up here where the deer. There was a lot of deer at the time when I first got married, so we just shoot it, throw it in the trunk, and come in. We had a garage back there. You know who was gonna know we got it? So I would call mother, mama, Randy got a deer. Ay boy, I'll be right there. I'll be right there. She would come in with her sharpening. Jita, cover the window so that, you know, in case somebody passes by. You know what? Because he was stealing. Yeah, right. Well, God was seeing us. What difference did he make if people saw us? Anyway, yeah, Mother used to love to camp anything in jars, bake. That's the only desire I wish in life, that after I was able to afford, you know, being able to buy the extras, that Mother would have been alive so I could have bought her stuff so she could have baked to her satisfaction. Because while you got the egg white, you used the yellow to make the cake, then you had to save the white to make the frosting because, well, if the chickens weren't laying, or if you had to buy the eggs, like Mother never had enough of anything to do it. Powder egg was a lifesaver for us because Mother would use that for baking and everything, and she had good luck. God blessed her on that. But we used to try to, a lot of people didn't know how to use the dried powder egg. Well, Mother made sure she knew how. We used to eat it as scrambled egg. Fry the homemade bacon and then just throw that egg in there. Man, that was a good breakfast. Mm-hmm. So we were raised with commodities. The only thing we didn't eat out of the commodities was big black beans. I don't know, the black beans are big. They were navy beans or something like that. That's one thing Mother tried to bake them, do the whatever with them. Pork and beans, try to make like pork and beans we couldn't eat them. But then we used to boil them a little bit, soak them, and then that was part of the feed for our pigs to kill. So they didn't go to waste. But peanut butter was another thing. It used to come in cans. Well, a lot of times the other can, well, they would get lazy. I was too young. They wouldn't put it in the jars. So the last peanut butter was there, and it looked all gross. Mother made it into cookies, and, oh, how gross, Mom, how gross. Oh, you know, but nobody stopped eating the cookies. It wasn't that gross. Anyway, I had a beautiful life growing up. Very poor, very home-centered. Mother didn't let us visit too much because we were the only divorced kids in Cerro at the time. Mm-hmm. So Mother was always afraid of molestation or rape or, you know, as being out. So I think that's why Friday's evenings, hurry up and do work, eat early so that we could play games, make popcorn. She always tried to keep us busy doing something. When there were school lunches, parties, like for Halloween and that, we didn't have the money to go buy the potted meat or a loaf of bread or that. We always had everything home-baked. And Mother used to say, Jitas, don't worry, I'll do something special for you so you won't miss out on, you know, because we didn't can take nothing for the party. Well, heck, I think we had a better party at home, fried donuts and everything, because we would help her make the stuff. And then later on, there was this Adelmo Mascareñas, his we're cousin. He used to buy me my potted meat or the loaf of eggs, the loaf of bread or whatever I needed, eggs to make potato salad. So I was able to go, like, 7th, 8th grade, I was able to go to the parties because he used to buy the stuff for me. And then Barney, after that, came in our lives, and no, yeah, then we had, if we needed, Barney, I need a dollar. Barney, I need a dollar, you know. So it was a different life when he came into our lives. But before that, we didn't dare ask Mother for a dollar. You know, we knew she didn't have it. Mm-hmm. Or if she did have it, it was saved. You know, because Mother, we always kept money saved. We had a Bible, whole Bible. And Mother used to keep her money there. But we didn't ask because we knew that was for the land taxes. That was for, you know, Mother had a budget. Mm-hmm. So you didn't ask for it all. Mm-hmm. When I started high school, we lived right next to the school in Cerro. So we went to eat at home. When I started going to high school, well, we didn't have that extra money. So I would put apples in my purse and that. And that's what I would have for lunch. But I had a big breakfast. And then we had dinner waiting for when we got home. So I didn't care that I had a light lunch. And the bus driver, Mr. Lafayette, used to tell me, Kate, I'll pay for your lunch. If you want to get down and eat lunch, because I used to stay with him in the bus, I'll pay for your lunch. And there was a lot of times I would get tempted to tell him, okay, because I knew they were serving like beans and corn, something that I could smell good, the bread. And I used to say, no, because I used to think, if Mother knows, she's going to be upset, you know, that I'm begging. Mm-hmm. So I used to tell him, no, Lafayette, I'm doing good. I have my lunch. Well, he knew all I ate was apples, but I didn't care because I had had a big bowl of lentils and I was going to go home and there was going to be dinner on the table or tortillas freshly made that we were going to eat. So I didn't mind not having lunch at school, but everybody got down from the bus and I was the only one that would stay on the bus. Because, and he knew I didn't have money to eat. I'll pay for your lunch, Kita, I'll pay. No, I'm okay, I have lunch. What are you eating? Another apple. You know, but other than at home, we never went hungry. We never. And I wasn't going to pack a lunch for the other kids to see me pack a lunch. Take a pizza tortilla with an egg. You know, that was, I wasn't going to do that. Mm-hmm. And how dumb, huh? I could have had a good egg sandwich at noon.
Yeah. So you were embarrassed for
that? I was embarrassed because everybody got down and ate. Mm-hmm. And I was the only one that would stay in the bus. Mm. I was the only one. But it didn't bother me because I knew, I wasn't that hungry and I knew I was going to get home to a good meal. Mm-hmm. And a lot of these kids got home and there wasn't dinner and the parents fighting. And mm-hmm. So the hell, you know. It was like I was going to heaven. Once I got home, it was run to the first one to get in the door to see what was the biggest bite was going to be for the first one that got there. You know, it was, well, it was Lisa, Ines, myself, and then the neighbors, Joe and Permina, and all of them used to stop at my house because the houses, we were like grandma and me here. And their mom was stingy. And then they really didn't make a garden in that. So they were always eating at the house. And a lot of times, mother would hide stuff that she would bake and that. And she would say, he does. I don't do it because I don't want him to eat. But they don't have a limit. You know, they can come in and eat 5-6 donuts. Well, I mean, get 2 donuts. And she's, because a lot of times we're coming, well, it smells like cake or something. And then mother would take it after they left. And I'd say, they don't have a limit, he does. You know, and they didn't. They used to make a cake. And they used to cut a piece for each and then hide the rest. You know, it wasn't like, we had the cake, eat it because I need to wash the platter. You know what I mean? Sit down and eat the whole cake because the platter needs to be washed. You know what I mean? Mother never limited us. Mm-hmm. If it was a platter, well, everybody gets their share, but eat all of it because I need to wash the platter. We only had one platter for a cake or cornbread or whatever she was going to make. And while we were washing dishes, I served my mom.